The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slave said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet: 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, ought to hear.'" And this is the gospel of the Lord. There's a parable about parables. And this parable goes like this, that at the beginning God created different virtues, different values, truth, love, hope, and so on and so on. And truth was naked. We know the expression naked truth. And that's why truth didn't have any friends. Everybody was going away, didn't want to be associated with a naked truth. So she was alone and sad, and she sat under the tree and was crying. And then a story was passing by. Story dressed in all beautiful, colorful clothes and so on. And she stopped and asked, "Truth, why are you crying?" "You see, I am a naked truth and nobody wants to associate with me. Nobody wants to make friends with me. I am alone and lonely. Can you borrow me some of your beautiful clothes?" And the story agreed. And the truth took some of the clothes of the story on her. And from that time on, she started making friends. Jesus many times used parables because if you have one opinion and I have another opinion, we may start arguing. But if I tell you a story, I get you involved in the story. And slowly, by accepting the story, being part of the story, you may also absorb the message that is in that story. And this was the method of Jesus. Sometimes he was arguing with the Pharisees especially, or Sadducees. But many times he was telling stories in order to draw people inside the world of his story so that they may accept the values of that story, may start thinking and reasoning out of the moral of that story. And today we have three parables about the kingdom of God. And I must tell you that I love this parable about the wheat and the weed. I remember, especially in my early years of priesthood, I was a little bit, I call it Taliban, uncompromising. I would like to separate immediately the good from the evil, weed out the evil. And Jesus says, this is not the pedagogy of God. God does not want to destroy evil immediately, because together with the destruction of the evil, some good may be uprooted, may be destroyed. Let them grow so that no good may be lost, no good may be destroyed, no good may be uprooted. The delicacy of God and the patience of God. Every good that is in me, that is in you, needs to be preserved, needs to be given space and time so that it may grow and expand. It also tells us that what really attracts us many times is like those servants of the master in the gospel is the evil. Many times what is good we take for granted. Husband in wife, wife in husband, children in parents, parents in children, in our colleagues at work, what strikes us, what jumps out is some evil, is something that is bad. And concentrated on what is bad, we overlooked all the good that is around it. And Jesus tells us that we can look at every person from different angle. We should look at from the best angle possible, as he looks at us. We know all of us, we have our dark sides. Our misdeeds and sins are known to us. We have also done, and we are doing in life, something good. And God is looking at that good in the first place. That is the God's main vision. The goodness that is in us. The good that we manage to do in this world. God concentrates on good first and allows it to grow, allows it to expand, and hopes that it will grow and expand. And we are called to do the same with our family members, with brothers and sisters, first to see good, to be grateful for it, to appreciate it. A friend of mine used to say that on the good compliment, I can go for 3 months. It's important that we say compliments to one another, appreciating the real good without flattery, but appreciating real good that exists in each one of us, underlying it, encouraging, so that it may grow and expand. And as a confirmation of this attitude, we have the second parable about the mustard seed. I tell you, I saw the first mustard seed last August when I was in the Holy Land. And there was a shrub of the mustard, and somebody from, oh, this is the mustard branch, we can get the seeds. And they are really very, very small. And Jesus speaks about them. That when you sow them, they grow. Our translators are trying to be wiser than Jesus, because in the Greek text it says that when full grown, it is the largest of the plants, it becomes a large tree. Here in English Bible, they translate it as the large bush. Do you know why? Because in wherever we look for it, from the mustard seed, a big tree does not grow. It's a bush. So they translate it as a bush. But Jesus, when you look in the original text, speaks about the large tree. Why? Because Jesus does not speak about something that is natural. He speaks about something that is supernatural. The kingdom of God is something supernatural. It's not just a fruit of our efforts, of our good proposal. It's the fruit of the grace of God, of the Spirit of God, who makes impossible happen. That mustard seed grows into the largest tree. So much so that even the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. Now, these birds of the sky are not the Franciscan birds, you know? The birds of the sky, they have very bad press in the Bible. It's, if you remember another parable of the sower that sows the seeds on the good soil, on the road, on the rock, and so on. So the birds of the sky come and take away the seed that is on the ground that doesn't have the real soil. And Jesus says, this is the devil who takes away the word of God from those who don't really listen. So the birds of the air are compared are the symbol of devil. Now, when the kingdom of God grows, even the representatives of the devil come and make the nest in the branches of the kingdom of God. And we see it even in the New Testament. Saint Paul, who was the persecutor of Christians, got converted and became greatest of the apostles, apostle of the nations. The Roman Empire that was persecuting the Christians and the church for more than two centuries, for almost three centuries, then became the center of Christianity. Rome became the center of Christianity. When the kingdom of God grows, even the former enemies may get converted and become our friends. So this tells us also that we cannot write anybody off, because the enemy of today can be our friend tomorrow. What is important is to grow the goodness that is in us, in our family members, in our friends around us, so that those who do evil may have a chance of changing their life, of converting and joining us. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus said that the seeds are the children of the kingdom. They are not the righteous, but they are children of the kingdom. They are not good, only God is good, but they are children of the kingdom. Those who really want the will of God to prevail in their lives and in the world. I think that being here today, we can count ourselves as the children of the kingdom. So Jesus tells us that he wants to involve us in a story that is greater than ourselves. That our life is not just to struggle, to survive, to make our life comfortable, to provide for our family members, and more or less go uprightly through life till the end of time. No. We are part of the kingdom of God that needs to grow and expand and influence evil those who do evil, so that they may make their nests in the branches of the kingdom of God. Dear brothers and sisters, we are involved in something greater than ourselves. Jesus wants to make our own small personal history the history of salvation for somebody else. Why? Because he sees every good that is in us. He wants to forgive our sins, take them away, but in order to make room to grow and expand the goodness that is in us, so that the goodness in the world may grow, so that the kingdom of God may grow. And that's why this gospel of today is such a good news. Amen.